You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week saw the release of the Global Tobacco Industry Interference Index. In it, Aotearoa ranked 53rd in the world, a whopping 52 places down from 2 years ago. This ranking 2 years ago was reflective of our robust anti-smoking laws. Since the current coalition government has repealed them, however, that reputation has come seriously into question. These rankings now serve as a warning about the role that the tobacco industry plays in health policy and New Zealand's failure to manage smoking and tobacco lobbying. I spoke to Professor of Public Health at the University of Auckland, Chris Bullen, about the ranking, tobacco influence in the government, and what it says about smoking in New Zealand as a whole. To get us started, what is this ranking?
Yeah, so the ranking is comes from a report that's produced annually by an organisation called the Southeast Asian Tobacco Control Alliance. And so that's a group of organisations in Southeast Asia who look at countries around the world and their compliance with a particular part of the world's first health treaty. It's called the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, which really asks, it's around 20 years old now, and it's asked governments to sign up to take steps to control the scourge of tobacco. And that means things like increasing the price of tobacco, putting warning labels on, banning media advertising, and providing support for people to quit smoking. So many, many countries around the world are at various stages and complying with all those guidance measures, the articles. And the one that we're interested here is on about the requirement to try and put in place measures to stop interference by the tobacco industry on the development of policies which would help to reduce smoking in a population. And that's called Article 5.3 in the Framework Convention. So it's quite a bit of technical stuff. So the annual survey assesses countries' progress and adherence to this guidance. And New Zealand was kind of near the top of the class a few years ago, and that seems to have happened in the last 2 years. We've fallen from grace dramatically down to, 53rd. Now, we're not at the bottom of the table. There are many countries that are worse off, worse performing than us, but I think it's the rapid decline that shocked everybody, and it's a bit of a wake-up call, I believe, for our government.
When considering particularly public health perspectives on this kind of ranking, how might these rankings sort of reflect New Zealanders' exposure to the harms of tobacco?
Yeah, so the good news is that smoking has declined a lot over the last 10 or 20 years. New Zealand's been very good regardless of which political party's been in power. New Zealand's steadily tightened the screws on tobacco smoking, and more and more people have quit smoking, and most young people don't smoke now. I mean, the majority of teenagers, 99% of them don't smoke overall. But there are still persisting inequities between population groups like Māori, Pacific, and non-Māori, non-Pacific. Smoking rates are quite different, with smoking being still more common. Even though the rates are declining in Māori and Pacific, it's still much more common than in non-Māori, non-Pacific people. And across different socioeconomic groups, smoking is more common in people who are less well off, and also people with mental health and drug abuse, drug misuse conditions. It's more common. So there's still work to be done, even if we're making progress with smoking. And tightening those screws means pushing back against what the tobacco industry wants, which is to sell more cigarettes and right its products. That's what it's there for. But the government's got a responsibility to prevent disease and protect the well-being of the people of New Zealand, and that means trying to make it harder and harder for those products to be available to be used in New Zealand. And we seem to be making a good job of it, but we've failed in shutting the door on the influence of the tobacco industry, which wants to slow that decline down and to introduce other products which could hook people and possibly get them smoking again. So that is the real concern, is that we've kind of let our guard down, and now we've got plain evidence that the tobacco industry has been sort of whispering in the ears of officials and potentially in ministers, and that's not a good thing for New Zealand generally.
On that, what sort of interference and influence are we seeing in terms of our own government and our own policies from the tobacco industry?
Yeah, well, we had world-leading tobacco control legislation that was supported by really good scientific evidence from research here in New Zealand and overseas that measures of reducing the nicotine in cigarettes, reducing the number of cigarette outlets, and making it illegal to sell tobacco to anybody born after the 1st of January 2019. All those three measures, they were repealed when the coalition government took power. And that's number one. So we were sort of heading in a really powerful direction, and suddenly the new government came in and they completely, you know, flipped that on its head. That's not to say they didn't claim that they were still committed to New Zealand becoming smoke-free by the end of 2025, but the measures they've kind of got left to them, having pulled the plug on those powerful ones, are relatively, you know, weak. So that was number one. Number two was the way they responded to criticisms of the repeal were really parroted from the kind of things you find in tobacco industry documents, the arguments that you know, there would be a crime wave, there would be a huge increase in the amount of black market tobacco on sale, and we don't believe that's happened. There's no evidence. I've been involved directly in monitoring that, and we haven't seen that happen. And then the Minister of Health responsible for tobacco control, Associate Minister Cassie Costello, she said that she'd given the Ministry of Health some policy advice from a document, but it was one which she wasn't prepared to reveal. And it, when it was, she actually denied it existed initially, and she said she didn't know who wrote it. And then only after the Chief Ombudsman stepped in, did the document get revealed, and that was full of arguments that contradicted our research from New Zealand, and it was really just a reflection of tobacco industry arguments that are used by lobbyists. And then there are also, it wasn't enough, under her leadership, the first ever reduction in excise tax on tobacco happened, and that was for the tobacco used in heated tobacco products like IQOS, and that was really a sort of a direct favour to the biggest tobacco company in the world, Philip Morris International, which operates that product, sells that product. And then there's lots of connections between people in government and people in the tobacco industry. It's a bit of a revolving door and lack of transparency about their interests. And, you know, that's a bigger part of the problem, that whole lack of transparency of government is a wider issue, even beyond tobacco. So I think there's, you know, a mounting body of concern and evidence that the government's behaved in a way which is more favourable to the tobacco industry and its interests rather than the interests of New Zealanders.
With this influence and interference in mind with ministers like Cassie Costello or even Chris Bishop, how can we kind of expect to see this interference play out for tobacco policy in the future?
Well, I think we're seeing it at the moment. For example, the sole kind of focus of the current smoke-free strategy is on supporting people who smoke to quit smoking. And as that in itself is a good thing. But there is no, around that, there is really nothing else that's particularly new that's driving to boost the motivation of people to line up and quit smoking, right? And so by making smoking less attractive, less addictive, less available, those are the things that we need to really work on to reduce the smoking inequities as quickly as possible and saving, you know, up to 5,000 lives a year, while we dilly-dally around doing good things, but in sort of very individual focused. I just don't think it's going to be enough to get us to the kind of both targets for smoking and amounts of smoking, but also the longer term benefits for health for the next few generations in New Zealand. So I think they're kind of playing to the hand of soft peddling rather than taking the strong action that's needed to put a real nail in the coffin of smoking in New Zealand.
And just finally, in terms of those goals that you've just mentioned, what do you want to see from this government and governments going forward in terms of kind of regaining our place in these rankings and implementing those strong anti-smoking measures?
Yeah, well, I think, the measures that were repealed need to be looked at again because time has passed. Smoking has declined, but it hasn't declined equitably. So I think we need to look at particularly the denicotinized tobacco strategy, because that was the one that was always going to work fast and be a pro-equity one. I think that needs to be looked at again for potentially governments in waiting or the current government if they fail to meet the goal, which was always for everybody, not just for overall 5% by the year for 2025. But broader than even smoking is just the whole issue of, increasing transparency around reporting where money comes from, where people have been working, who are the lobbyists, how can we shut down the influence of commercial companies like tobacco industry on influencing government policy decisions. Because they were always in their own interests, and usually they are in opposition to the goals of public health.
That was Professor of Public Health at the University of Auckland, Chris Bullen, on the Global Tobacco Industry Interference Index and what New Zealand's drop in the rankings means for how we are dealing with tobacco.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.